Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Stop! Stop it! Stop! Stop!
Hey, guys, on May 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're coming out with our new documentary, Sasquatch and the Missing Man, where me and my team went to Washington State to hunt the Bigfoot at Ground Zero, where Wes Germer had his infamous Bigfoot encounters. If you want tickets to this event, me and Moment came together to give it to you live on May 5th. All you got to do is go to moment.co/Sasquatch to get your tickets, and there you'll be able to watch the live premiere on May 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
Feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you haven't got your tickets yet, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and check it out. Sasquatch and the Missing Man premiering, the world premiere on Sunday, May 5th. If you gotten your tickets, awesome. Good for you. If you haven't, go get them now. Don't wait. Don't miss out on this awesome event where me and my team went to Washington to ground zero of Wes Germer's Sasquatch encounter, and we investigated an entire week, and you can watch that whole journey on Sunday, May 5th. All right, today we got a great member show for you. We have Nathan coming on the show, the White Beast of the Ozarks. Nathan comes on to talk about the White Beast of the Ozarks. When he was a kid, he saw this thing standing out in the yard, and it was huge, it was hulking, it was hunched over, long hair, but the way it acted, he said it felt like it was new in its body. It didn't know how to use its body. And then he heard things and he saw things that lead you to believe there's more to the story than what meets the eye. He later saw it later in life. His mother has seen it. And then later on in the conversation after the White Beast, we talk about the houses that Nathan moved into throughout his life, including pictures and video of some really wild things that he sent over to us that you'll be able to see later in this episode on the video format side of things. But he talks about seeing a face in a window in the one house they had just moved into. I saw it myself, and while he was talking, I actually edited the picture and drew out the face more. And I don't know what else to say other than there's a literal face looking out the window of their brand new house, and you guys will be able to see it on this episode. So let's get to Nathan right now. All right, today we got Nathan on the show. Nathan, what's going on, brother?
Oh, not a whole lot. How about yourself, buddy?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. So I don't think I actually get a whole lot of people in the Ozarks area contacting me. And you think you would. Like, you think you would. But, and maybe I do, and they just don't, you know, tell me the location, because I quite often forget to ask such things. So, but you're here today. You're from that area. And you have some things we want to talk about. We're going to start off with the, let's loosely call it cryptid stuff, because I don't want to predefine things, because I have a feeling that there's maybe some details that you might share that make me kind of my ears perk up and say, But then we're going to get into some of these houses that you lived in and some of the experiences that happened after the white beasts. And you're calling it the white beast in the email, and you had two encounters with these things. So we're going to call it the white beast for now, and we'll see where we go from there as far as definitions.
I wouldn't know what else to call it if I'm being honest.
I got you, man. So let's start off with how all this started for you, because I know the haunting and the paranormal stuff kind of kicked in after the white beast encounters. So let's start there. How old were you? Where were you? And walk us into the experience of what happened with this.
Okay, perfect. So there was a little bit of stuff that had happened growing up prior to the white beast thing. But a lot of it growing up, you kind of go numb to it. So we would have things happen, like washer and dryers would open and shut in the middle of the night. We would have doors open and close, and there'd not be anybody there. But I was so used to it as a kid that it kind of just, in the back of my head, I was like, you know, this kind of thing happened to everybody. And nothing was so, so out there that it really paid me much mind. It kind of maybe scared me in the moment, but I moved past it. So I was about, I would say 13, 14. I was getting ready to go into eighth grade. And me and my mom were sitting on the porch, and we had these two dogs, Catalina and Spaz. And Catalina was this itty bitty little chihuahua, but she was completely all about the action. She was an outside dog, so whether it be raccoon, deer, bear, she was going to fight it. She was going to try. She was going to yap her way all the way out into the woods to chase it down. We were sitting on the front porch, and both of them were standing at the edge of our house, and they were barking for probably a good 5 minutes. And about 5 minute mark, my mom was kind of like, hey, you know, you want to go out and check and see what they're barking at? Because normally they would have already chased whatever it is off. So I had walked around the side of our house, and as I come up next to it, I kind of have this, now knowing why I had the gut feeling, but I had this weird feeling like, well, if it's a raccoon or a possum, I don't want to step directly on it. So I kind of came out into the yard a little bit. And I come around the corner, and there's a set of trees that were kind of catty corner, and they stuck out. The tree line wasn't for another 70 yards. There's just these two trees that was in the middle of our yard. And I'm kind of standing there for a minute, looking, trying to figure out what I'm looking at. But there's this massive white blur standing in between these trees. And I stared at it. And like, the more I stared at it, the more confusing it got, if that makes sense. Like, the more I looked at it, the less it made sense. Growing up in that area, you see bobcats, mountain lions, deer, you know, all the normal animals. There's bear out there. So it's not far-fetched to see any of those, but it was about 7 foot, and it was hunched over. And it had its arms kind of dangling, and its arms, front arms, didn't quite touch the ground. And I could remember it had its head popped to the side, and it was just staring in my direction. The part that kind of obviously, you know, the bothered me about this was there was no face to it. There was a shape where like a head would be, but I couldn't distinct eyes. I couldn't distinct mouth. I couldn't distinct ears. I could just see arms. I could see a hunch, and I could just see it. I could tell it was staring at me, if that makes sense. And I probably stood there for, you know, probably a good solid 60 seconds, which is a long time. And my mom kind of was just watching. I think she thought I was scoping something in the woods. I completely locked, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie. people talk about, you know, fight or flight. I was frozen. I couldn't do nothing. I, to be completely honest, I started crying and I just stood there and I stared at it. And my mom is, I would say, 30 yards from me, sitting on my porch. And that I didn't know this till talking to her later on. She was screaming my name the whole time. She was trying to get my attention and I was just deadlocked. After about a minute, she got up off the porch and she come over, and as she gets off the porch, both of the dogs darted at it. And of course I ran, full blown panic. I come into the house. My mom calls my stepdad. She's like, "Hey, there's something here. You need to get down here fast." He come down, and we had a big dump truck with a bunch of spotlights on it. He got out there with a gun, and he parked that thing in between those two trees and kind of sat out there, and he kept trying to get me to come out and talk to him. And I was like, "Nah, I'm not 7 foot outside yet. Yeah, that's it." You know, this thing was so big that, like, it could have barreled through the side of my wall with ease. Like, that's literally how my brain processes. At night, this thing is going to smash through my wall. It's going to take everything in its way. And I mean, I was mortified. He was on his way out the door, go sit on the dump truck. And I told him, I was like, that gun you got ain't going to stop, whatever that is. Like, you don't have a big enough round in one of our safes for whatever was standing out there. I'm sorry. I kind of skipped around a little bit. When I ran, one of the things I noticed right before I ran was my dog started, and it seemed to have spooked whatever it was. Cause it started to run too, but it wasn't running in my direction. It was actually running back towards the woods behind my house. And when it ran, it's going to sound stupid. It's going to sound weird to say, but it looked as if it was bipedal, but trying to figure out how to run on all fours. Like it looked like it fell. And then its front hands caught it at this like last second, and it did a weird sideways motion where it shoved itself around and spun, and then it barreled through the woods. And when this thing was moving, man, it's not like a freight truck running through the woods. Like I've heard bears run through the woods. I've heard all kinds of animals tearing through the woods, and the size alone of this thing and the sound, like it really jacked me up. I had been on this road for my entire childhood and had been walking up and down it throughout the night and whatnot for my entire life. So to see this, you know, was a big shock. You know, I was like, okay, so there's stuff in the woods that I can't comprehend. I did not talk to my mom about it. In fact, I didn't really talk to anybody about it for a very long while. I'd say it was probably about 4 years before I ever told the story to E. Leading up to this, all this, we had probably, I would say, 4 months before this white beast encounter, we had a really close friend pass away, family friend of ours. And I would say within a couple of days of him passing away, there was a bright white owl that showed up on a road light. Almost looked illuminatingly bright. You could see it tearing through the woods from 60 yards away, and you could tell that it was that owl. And at first, my cousins all kind of made jokes about it and was like, you know, that's Uncle Billy, and he's coming to see you. They were all convinced that this was apparently our Uncle Billy coming back as an owl or something and watching over us, because it would get to the point where it'd follow us. Like, if we walked up the road, it was a 3 mile road or 2.5 mile road, and we would walk up and it would make different pit stops and it would wait for us to get to it, and it would take off and it'd fly a little farther up the road and it'd be sitting on a fence post. And growing up, we didn't really pay it much mind. We just kind of joked about it. In fact, you know, I'm teased my cousin about it. I'd make owl sounds and try to get it to come near them to spook them out, and didn't think much about it. Honestly, until here recently, when I kind of started putting together, like, hey, this was a white beast I seen, all white, and this white owl kind of came shortly before. And then, you know, I don't know what it was about this owl, but when I'd see it, it gave me bad vibes. You know, I always had this gut feeling, and the same gut feeling it would that I would get when I seen that thing. I can't 100% compare the two of them, but it did seem really odd. Before it kind of came about, I didn't find this out till I would say about 2 weeks ago. Me and my brother kind of got talking about that owl, and I was like, hey, you know, do you remember why that where that owl ended up coming from or when or anything like that? And he just kind of fell all silent and somber about it. And he was like, yeah, man, listen, he was like, I shot an owl, a white owl, when he was living, I think it was out in Boonville area. He was like, I shot this owl. And he was like, you know, I moved back and probably within a week later it showed up. And so when my cousin Mikey would say, hey, that's our Uncle Billy showing up as an owl, he'd kind of laugh. He's like, that ain't our Uncle Billy. And again, didn't find this out till here recently. In fact, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about, well, recent events with family, I just found out because I just started talking about it with them. So he's seen the white owl shortly after, had this beast encounter. And that one really changed me. It really put this thought in my head of, okay, so there's definitely things that exist that can't be explained. And this is what it feels like to be one of those Bigfoot guys or one of the, at 13, you know, I'm like, nobody is ever going to be sorry, yeah. Ever. So after that, everything kind of fell silent. I would say it was, I'll just move all the way through the white beast thing so we could just put it out of the way. I would say it was another, say, 6 years. I was out there, and I was actually sitting with the same cousin who seemed to think that this was a relative that was an owl. And I finally opened up and I started to tell him about this story. And he very much so had paranormal experiences on this road that we lived on, but never anything like that. And I'm telling him the story, and you could tell he was just kind of like, oh yeah, sure. I imagine it was just like that, you know? And so I'm telling it to him, and he's like, well, hey, I'm going to use the restroom. So he steps inside, and I had looked out. And again, this was the same backyard, and about 70 yards out is our tree line. And I see about 7-8 foot tall white blur, and it's just casually, very slowly moving through the woods. And I panicked, so I opened my back door, and I'm like, hey, man, it's out here. You got to come look at this. It's here. You see it right there. So he ran back down. By the time I shut the door behind him, I'm not seeing it. I can still hear it, and he can hear it, but he kind of played it off again. He's like, yeah, dude, you're probably seeing an albino deer or something. You know, it's possible. And I was like, okay. He goes back inside, and I sat there for a minute, and then I see that white blur again. And it's just far enough away that I can't make out full body definition, but I can make out size and I can make out color. And it is every bit of between 7-8 foot. And I mean, it is so wide. Like, a bear is a bad way to describe it because bear is the easiest way to describe it. But it was if a bear stood on top of another bear's shoulders and hunched over. Like, it was just so absurdly large and unproportionate body weights. Like, its arms didn't seem to make sense the way that they sat, and the way it was hunched over didn't look like it was meant to be hunched over. It looked like it just wanted to stand up or something, you know. It was very awkward looking. And I stared at it for a minute, and I kind of thought, you know, if I go back in, there's a chance I lose this thing. So I'm just gonna sit here and watch it and see what happens. And so I watched it for a minute. It just kind of slowly moved right there at the edge of the tree line. And out of nowhere, it just darted into a full sprint. Like, it is moving, and it's moving to the right side of our property. And we used to have a trailer set down there, an old trailer and like a giant silo tank and just kind of miscellaneous junk that we had pushed to the side when we were moving houses in. And it made it to that direction. And I remember hearing what sounded like, not necessarily like it bounced off against this silo, but like as if, and I know this sounds silly, it almost sounded like if somebody picked up a piece of sheet metal and was smacking the tank. Like, there was this hollow sound, and it was like metal on metal, like scratching. I remember hearing it and just thinking, like, this thing is tearing this tank up right now. Somebody's going to hear it. Somebody's going to come out fine. And I listened to it, and it made this weird sound for probably 10 seconds, and then it was gone. And so after that, I was kind of in my head again, and I was like, you know, not going to talk about this. It's not even going to mention it to nobody else, because this just seems like one of those situations too good to be true, or you know, nobody's going to believe what I'm seeing. So I kind of put it all the way up until this year, kind of put it aside. I had told my wife the story and a select few friends, but I finally sat down with my stepdad and I was like, hey man, I'm talking about going on this podcast. I sent this guy an email. I want to tell you about some of the stuff that happened. I want to talk about that night specifically. And as I start getting into it, he stops me. Hey, talk to your mom first. She's got a story that sounds a lot like yours.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.